This is Liz Lavender interviewing and in conversation with Lynn Carroll. When did you first start working with No Fixed Date?
Well, my very first encounter with No Fixed Date was before it was No Fixed Date. It was when it was still Balls Up Juggler. And we went to on a road trip to the south of Spain for the European Juggling Convention that Toby was organising. So yeah, that was quite an interesting trip.
And so how do you, because Ali, the other people in Balls Up Jugglers, if I'm correct, were Ali and Tom and David and Richie and Pete Gregory and perhaps Cece?
No, it was just the five, I think.
Just the five.
Yeah.
So I know they were Cardiff based and you were presumably London based
no,
at the time.
Manchester at the time.
Manchester based.
Yeah, so I was running, I'd done a course with Reg Bolton about a year or so before that and got into circus through that week that I did with him and along with a few other people on the course. We set up a community circus up in Manchester and Pete Gregory's parents lived in Manchester, so during his holidays from uni, he came up to visit and dropped in on the juggling workshop that we were running. So that was the first time I met them, basically.
So the first person that you really met in that respect then was Pete Gregg, who turned up at one of your community juggling sessions in Manchester.
Yeah.
At the ripe old age of?
Ooh, he was still at uni, so I think I was 23, I think he was about 20.
Okay, so you, how many people were there and going to this community circus in Manchester at the time?
It varied week to week because it was dropping, but it did get quite busy. There was probably 20, 30 of us a week in its heyday.
I know down here in Cardiff, it was Toby who taught Ali and everybody to juggle. He got that juggling bug from somewhere. Who taught you juggling up there then?
Reg Bolton.
Reg Bolton. And what else was Reg involved with then? Because I've heard the name, but I don't really know it.
Well, he kind of started off all of the community circus movement in the country, really. He decided to learn circus and teach it and basically take it outside of the whole circus families the way it had been traditionally taught, and he thought it was a really good thing to take into communities. So he spent a while, he worked with Tollcross Circus up in Edinburgh, which is a community circus up there, and then he did a tour, the one that I was on, he toured around the UK and he did four places, I think. And there was 30 people on each course, but he basically decided to take circus into the community. The best way of doing that was to work with youth and community people. So all of us on the course were in some way, you know, youth workers or worked in some way with communities on, you know, adventure playgrounds or whatever like that. And it worked. So we did these four courses and basically we were all inspired and decided to go off and set up our community circuses around the Manchester area. And I think at one point we were running about four of them over the course of a week in different places around in Greater Manchester. But the Sunday afternoon one in Rusholme was kind of the one that we started and the one that kind of, you know, had the most longevity, I think.
So Sunday afternoon in Rusholme,
yeah,
was where it all started for you.
Mm.
Well, I just wonder, I mean, I don't know whether you know, but where did Reg Bolton learn to juggle? How did he get inspired? Because, you know, before this time, it was very trad, wasn't it? Circus was a trad thing. Mm. And then all of a sudden, I can remember it happening, people were starting to juggle. And where did that come from? Did it come from the States? Did it come from hippies?
No, I think a lot of
the States.
A lot of people in those days came out of Jacques Lecoq School. A lot of them had studied there. I'm not sure whether Reg did. I know his wife was a mime artist, and I think he had a kind of physical theatre background. So I'm not sure if you studied at Le Coq at all, but I know, you know, when we first started off, like when Full Time set up the first circus school, a lot of the teachers that we had there were Le Coq trained. So I presume there was that crossover there.
That answers a little query then. That's kind of fitting some pieces into a jigsaw for me. And do you know whether Reg Bolton's still alive?
No, he died 2006, I think.
Did you come down and visit people in Cardiff before you, you know, how did that Manchester, Cardiff, apart from Pete going back to Manchester and connecting with you? I didn't ask you what you were doing at that time, actually.
I used to drive Manchester Playbus. So we used to visit deprived communities in Manchester with the Playbus, and, you know, that had no play space, basically. And we'd turn up for the day and have loads of kids playing on it.
Yeah, I remember the days of the Playbus, and that was quite a good little vehicle, literally, wasn't it, for taking things out and getting people active. Because you were at college before that, weren't you? Didn't you go to uni or something before that?
No, I went to art college. But I wasn't really doing... I moved to Manchester originally with some friends from Middlesbrough, one of which was Bob Mortimer. They used to share a house in Middlesbrough, and we all moved up to Manchester together. So Bob went to Manchester to study law. So
okay, and I know you have got a funny little story to tell about that, which is quite a side of Nafit State. How you used to make ends meet sometimes.
But he said, if you ever want to make any money, look shifty in a shop as if you're shoplifting, and if they then pull you out of the shop and into a back room to search you, insist that they call the police. And then if the police are called, you've got a case for slander, basically. If they don't find any goods on you, then you can claim some compensation from them.
So, and then you were just juggling with balls then, were you? Or had you progressed to clubs?
No, I got into clubs really quickly because I got bored with balls. I wanted to juggle fire, basically, and do passing. So day three of learning to juggle, I was already on clubs.
Right. And then into fire.
Yeah.
And did you ever touch on things like devil sticks and diablos?
I used to perform diablo in my street show.
Right.
I never liked devil stick.
No. And stilts, I know you've done a lot on stilts recently, but was that something that was also happening about that time?
No, I learned that much later. I actually learned that with Gogi Magog, which were a Catalan stilt company on one of the international workshop festival things in Derry.
Right. The European juggling convention was in where then?
It was in a place called Castellar de la Frontera Andalusia, which was a ancient walled town on top of a mountain. It's an absolutely stunning place, but it did have quite a high population of German junkies.
Right. Oh, that's right, which is where you travel down there in a yellow van, which I've seen pictures of it. Mm. Tell me how you purchased that van.
There was a whole fleet of them were auctioned off, and people who were associated with Balls of Jugglers bought three of them. So I think there was Dave Lloyd, Stiltsy, and Ali, Pete, Tom, and all of them were all clubbed together for the third one. And they spent a few months converting it, and then we set off a few months early. I'm trying to think when it was. It might have been straight up to Glastonbury or something. And we travelled through France and Spain doing shows.
Can you remember how much you paid for those early vehicles?
I've got a vague feeling it was something like £800, but I might be wrong.
What, for two of them or one of them?
For one of them. Or it might be... 500 or 800, I can't remember, one of the two.
I was going to say, 500 is quite a pricey van in them days, 25 years ago, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
Where were they? They were auctioned off from somewhere, weren't they? They were never used or something.
No, there'd been a fleet of They were BT bands, weren't they? Because they had the flap for the telegraph calls to come through.
So what kind of stuff was going on at the European Juggling Convention in those days? And
the Juggling Convention was quite... there was lots of Americans, I remember. There's quite a few Americans. There's quite a few... There's lots of tall Dutch people. Mm-hmm. people were out there from all over Europe. It's quite an adventure for everybody getting there. I think there was quite a few dramas with people getting passports nicked, and there was a few kind of road trip stories on the way. We did the last leg by coach, which in those days was pretty horrendous. It was a really long journey, and we all had stomach bugs, so we all had to keep stopping and getting off and running to the loo and making sure the driver stayed so we didn't get left behind. We bussed all the way through France and Spain, and we got as far as Benidorm, and we'd spent a lot of time in kind of proper Spanish towns where they hadn't really seen a juggler before, so we'd have kind of thousands of kids surrounding the van and cheering as we drove into the town, and we'd get out and do little shows, and then when we'd get into local papers and all this kind of thing. It was really, really lovely reception, and we really didn't fancy going to places like Benidorm because it was full of English people and we just didn't have the same reception, basically.
I know that from another story, when I was talking to Dave, he went and didn't have a relative somewhere in Spain, so he managed to get a bit of money that took you somewhere or fed you or something like that.
No, we got insurance, so that we had sorted out really comprehensive insurance before we left.
Right.
And it took a bit of prompting on the UK end, actually. We had that top people back in Cardiff hassling the insurance companies to get some money to us. And to basically sign off the hotel bills and stuff like that. But we had to stay for a few days, I remember, in Benidorm, waiting for the insurance to get sorted and to sort out what was happening with the van and things like that. And we stayed in this really dodgy hotel. Apparently it had been full of American sailors the night before, and all the women in it who were running it looked knackered. So we stayed in this dodgy hotel for a few days, and then got the bus to down to Castellar.
And so then I guess it's warm weather, European Juggling Convention. You kind of got through a tricky period, which kind of builds a bit of rapport between people. And what kind of things, was that quite an inspiring thing to do once you actually got to the juggling convention? Did you see some amazing jugglers or learn new tricks or meet people who would then go on and be an influence in your life after?
Well, there was a lot of people there who were quite famous jugglers now. I think that was the first time Mikel from the Flying Dutchman was there, and he was doing Five Ball Bill's Mess, which nobody had ever seen.
Can I just ask you on the back of all that then, how did you get back? Did you fly back?
We flew.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that was the end of, I don't know what happened to Balls Up Jugglers after that. I think they carried on learning to juggle.
They were all at uni, so they kind of carried on with their courses and things.
So they all carried on with their uni. You went back to Manchester.
Yeah.
And you continued doing the playbook.
I kept doing that. And then when full-time opened in Bristol, I moved to Bristol and did one of the first courses that they did there.
And so, who approached you then to go on tour with Treasure Island and No Fit State in those blue tent years then?
It was actually Mark Moreau was... Because I was teaching at Circus Space, I was doing a lot of training at Circus Space, and he used to teach me. He was my teacher for static trapeze, and he said, "Why don't you audition for Nova State? They're looking for people." So I applied to audition, and went along and made a massive mess.
What point of a massive mess?
I did a piece which was a combination of Delia Smith and the witches from Macbeth. So
Delia Smith merged with
one of the witches from Macbeth.
Right.
So it's like a split personality thing. It's to be a cookery thing that I then go into. Every time I started cooking, I'd go into the witch from Macbeth. Made some horrible concoctions and ended up throwing them around the room, and I got the job.
I was going to ask other people whether they remember your audition for that. I hope you realise it might provide some interesting stories. It'd be nice getting both sides of the story. They might have really, well, they must have really liked it because they employed you.
I remember there being a stunned silence at the end.
And who was on the interview panel? Ali, Tom.
Claire Hudson was there, I remember that.
And thus started, how many years then did you perform in Ofit State? You definitely did. What was this show we were talking about now? Was that Treasure Island?
Treasure Island, and then I did all of the Stepping Stones ones apart from, I didn't do the community show.
There was three, well, there was Prophecy, Now Here, and
I didn't do the community Immortal.
Right.
Because I think I was doing loads of work at the Dome that year, wasn't I? Was that 2000?
Might have been.
I did loads of work in the Millennium Dome.
Prophecy was the one in the horrible workshop. Then there was...
It was Now Here.
Now Here, which was down Dumbles Road, or just over the bridge here, down by the yellow thing.
Yeah.
Then the Immortal one was in the tent in the park, wasn't it?
And you were... I came up to visit, but I wasn't able to be in that.
Okay.
I was doing the Dome, Millennium Dome, I think, anyway. There was quite a good reason why I couldn't do it.
It was probably was that Dome show, because then you were with Creature Feature and doing the
I did gorillas. That. I also, Carmen Miranda was commissioned there as well, and I did the Mermaid quite a lot there, so I had quite a lot of work on it. It was quite a good gig to do.
So, Treasure Island, lovely little crew. I was on that one, I think. I'm trying to think where it took us to. But you had your rig outside, didn't you? And we did something outside. Well, can you remember anything particular about that tour? What are the things that you can remember about the Treasure Island tour? I've got Hev coming in later on. He reminded me of a few things. That's tight. Oh my God.
I remember making some of my special truffles.
You did. Lynn did used to make nice truffles in those days. I can remember going to Newtown Abbey, and we had to call Teresa something else. We had to call her something like Judith because we were in a Protestant area, and she was absolutely paranoid about being called Teresa. And you know it. How many years ago was this? 20 years ago, the pavements were still painted red, white and blue, weren't they? Mm. It's a little scary.
Yeah.
We
got the ferry from Scotland, didn't we, from there?
It was the year my dad died, so I didn't go. At some point, did we go to Girvan? Did we go through a military training camp to get to sight?
Don't think
no.
so.
No. I can remember being up in Scotland, and I'm sure you did. We drove down and we stayed the night in a lay-by.
Yeah.
And I think we've got photographs of that lay-by. And then you all went off to catch the ferry to Ireland.
Yeah.
Which wasn't Newtown Abbey, because I went to Newtown Abbey, but I didn't go, I don't think, to that Ireland, because I think that was the time when my dad died and I had to go down to the Midlands. And then I met you somewhere south.
I can't remember.
It was Gavin and Tree, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Gavin and Tree.
And it was Julie who was driving.
Yeah, that's right, who used to make the shoes.
Oh, yes. She made lovely shoes.
Yeah.
And Tree used to make eye patches and hats.
Yeah. Lindsay was on it.
Lindsay was on it. And I made grog. The merchandising expanded into brown vats of the cheapest shite you could imagine for a quid a cup. It really was a hygiene issue.
So we had two boats, two punts, and we had bottles of Pimm's for each. So it was a day off, so we thought we'd have a bottle of Pimm's going up the river. And then you were supposed to be on the boat with Charlie, and there was me and Leah, there was Lindsay. And then Charlie, for some reason, didn't want to go on the boat, or he got upset and panicked or something, and decided not to go. So you jumped off last minute and left me, Leah and Lindsay, and I think that was,
two bottles of Pimm's.
No, it was one bottle of Pimm's, and then there was another boat with everybody else on it, so they had a little glass of Pimm's each, and we had a bottle of
Pimm's. That's right.
And Lindsay was in a dress, and we just got legless to go down this river.
There's a lot of getting legless, I think.
Mm. That was hard work, wasn't it?
Probably
between
not as
two of us.
Yeah. And that was Oxford when we were at the top of the hill, wasn't it? In
weren't we next to an ice rink?
Headington Park.
It's
true, because the one before, I think we'd been at. We were next to an ice rink. That's where I broke my coccyx.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone went ice skating, didn't we?
Yeah.
And Heather was doing really well. Peter was doing very well because he's Norwegian and he could get down low and he skates across lakes. Okay, I feel like I better stop here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.